Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Last week in our study of Joel chapter 2, we were talking about some of the countries around the world where Christians are openly persecuted and even killed. Pay attention as we go back to our study today.
For the Bible stands.
While the situation in the Middle East is very dire, Christianity is under assault in Africa and Asia too. According to an aid to the Church in Need study of incidents in 2015, it cited that persecution at the hands of Islamic terror groups such as Boko Haram in Nigeria and other extremists in Sudan, Kenya, Tanzania, and other parts of the continent. Do we remember the Islamic State militants as they led what were said to be Ethiopian Christians along a beach? And in that still image, that photo back in 2015 that Reuters posted, these people going to be put to death for their faith. Listen, Asian Christians have been targeted by nationalist religious movements, Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists. That's just the fact of it. In such countries as Pakistan, India, and Myanmar, many of these groups increasingly view Christianity as a foreign colonial import and believe its practitioners are doing the bidding of the West, according to experts. I don't know who the experts are. While Christians continue to be under siege from ISIS radicals in Syria and Iraq, the religion is being targeted throughout the region, with members of the faith also under increasing pressure in Iran, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, and other Gulf nations. I remember just a few years ago, a young 16-year-old lady got saved listening to Christian radio. It didn't tell us which radio program it was. We don't want to say it was ours. We don't know whose it was. She got saved. When she told her daddy about it, he abused her, cut out her tongue, and spent a night of torture before she finally died. And for his crime, he got to spend one day in jail. The Christian population in Iraq has plummeted from 1.5 million in 2003 to current estimates of 275,000. And it could be gone within just a few years, according to activists. The dwindling numbers are due to genocide. Refugees are fleeing to other countries. Those who are internally displaced and others hiding in plain sight are not allowing their faith to be publicly known. I'm told that even our own United States here last year would see to it that hardly any Christians among these so-called people, refugees, were in there. They just wanted to keep it mainly to Islamics. Now, despite experts like Mauro, we find the faith continues to flourish despite the opposition and the growing opposition. Why is that? It's just like back in Rome, the more they persecuted Christians, the more it came. The blood of the martyrs became the seed for the church. But what I'm saying to you today, persecution will increase as Islamics see Christianity as an increasing problem for them. Now, I would encourage you, I think the report is released in February, and that's not here yet as I'm recording this, but get a full report on that from the Center for Religious Studies on New Religion. And if you check that out, you'll find out more about it. I'm just telling you, that's the state we're in today. That's where we are. Now, after all this time in verses 12 through 19, dealing with Israel, we go here into verse 20, and we see that he shifts gears, and begins focusing here for the first time on the northern army. Now, Ezekiel 38 and 39, along with the reference to this chapter in Acts 2, we see that now this is going far beyond the Assyrian army that was defeated 100 years after the Joel invasion. The Assyrian army is mainly defeated the northern kingdom, and separated the northern kingdom of Israel from the land. But what I find that this deals with all of Israel. And a reading of Isaiah 49 might help you with that. Chapter 49 of Isaiah. Babylon would come later and take Jerusalem. The Assyrian army is destroyed at Jerusalem in Hezekiah's day, when 185,000 of their army are slain by an angel in one night. If you got a map of that side of the world and you drew a line from Jerusalem straight north, straight line, you would come right in to Moscow. So I believe Russia is this army. Jerusalem did go into captivity under Babylon for 70 years. Sin had gained a foothold in Israel and destroyed their land, like I believe that many churches will close with the contemporary movement that was predicted of the last days, when the churches would forsake sound doctrine, not endure sound doctrine, and heed to themselves teachers having itching ears that just makes them feel good and want to be happy, 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 rock, rock, rock all the time, and not have the true joy of the Lord in which there is strength. Well, it happened to Israel. God says it's going to happen when the judgment begins at the house of God. They didn't seek God to remove their sin. Their flesh had become addicted to it. As Isaiah 5:31, that said they loved to have it so. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 through 11 says they don't want them to preach. Write things, speak smooth things, make us feel good. And that was the preview of the judgment that would come to Israel, because that's the way they turned in turning from God, and the way the local churches are doing today. We too cannot remove sin in our own strength. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10, it says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, when churches, local churches, and individual Christians are given over to sinful practice, worldly, vice, desire, and must have the world's pleasures, things, and riches. With that must-have attitude, placing Jesus Christ on the back burner, then we lose recognition and sight of He who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, as Hebrews 7:26 describes Him. We begin to lack the capacity to rejoice in the beauty of holiness, as the psalmist instructs. We join the contemporary and the new evangelical crowd, creating a Jesus in our mind, but not the holy, righteous, biblical Jesus. And until the Lord God once again becomes the supreme joy and desire of every Christian, as well as the local church, more than just a statement of sentiment, then we are doomed to the same catastrophic judgments that Israel had, for judgment must begin at the house of God. Listen, one day at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That must be some powerful name, that even the things under the earth, on earth, and in heaven will bow at His name that one day. Oh, yes, that's a great name. There's none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 tells us the only way of eternal life is through the name of Jesus Christ. That's how we're accepted in the Beloved, the one who died for us, was buried, and rose from the dead. As I say all of that, my friend, I'm saying that for this purpose. He died for you, He died for me, and He did that because He loves us. He loves us still. But friend, we talked about those fleshly groups, but we also see another group, just like the Pharisees. Oh, they talked about their standards, but they weren't biblical. They tried to amend the Ten Commandments. That's right, they did. Now, I've heard people call the Pharisees the fundamentalists. And look, if you hear a person say that, that tells you two things. Number one, it tells you they don't like fundamentalists. And number two, and more importantly, it tells you they are ignorant. They don't know the Bible. Because if we were going to liken them to anything in Christianity today, it would be like the new evangelicals. You say, how was that? Because they try to make the Bible of none effect. Now, you know, we teach that the Bible was word for word, God breathed. A lot of times we say Paul said, David said, Moses said.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on His firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.